It's that time. Time for Pissed Off Politically Speaking. He is a national PR and campaign communications expert, editorial columnist, and former aide to three U.S. presidents. Here's your host, Scott Jones.
And a happy, happy Monday morning to you in an improving America. It's that time again. Welcome to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. As we like to say, never a dull moment. Well, it's an anniversary show, folks. Today marks the fourth year on air. It has been a labor of love. And I'm pleased to be right here on my radio home of the 405 Media Los Angeles. And we're kicking off our fifth year, bringing you, hopefully, kind of a center-right, calling balls and strikes with a little bit of editorial every Monday morning here at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. What a way to kick off our fifth year. We've got two great guests today coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Fox News Chief National Correspondent Ed Henry, first time on the show. He's going to join us. He's got a new book out, 42 Faith, The Untold Story of Jackie Robinson, the baseball great. And but there's no free rides. We're going to slip in a couple of Washington, D.C. policy and politics headlines on Mr. Henry. But we are going to spend some time talking about his book. He's had some fascinating access to new material and kind of advances the story of Jackie Robinson's remarkable career and life. And he will join us in our A block to talk about it all. Coming up in our B block, who better to have as you kick off the fifth year of our Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here than our own John Grant. He is not only my mentor in the world of radio broadcasts, he's our fearless leader on the gang of 405 every Saturday with our colleague Tammy Jackson. And we had a good discussion on Saturday's show if you missed it. And if you did, check out the podcast on the 405media.com for the gang of 405. We kind of broke down the 100 days, which honestly I'm getting tired of talking about. But more importantly, we graded the media. And John has posted some great editorials on the 405media.com. So he's going to join us in the B block, and we're going to continue the conversation on media coverage of the Trump administration, and may even slip in a question about how he thought this year's White House Correspondents' Dinner, a.k.a. the Nerd Prom, went. You know, it's one of my questions for Ed Henry. He is past president, I think just 2 years ago, was president of the White House Correspondents Association. So I'm going to ask him, did Trump succeed in knocking him out of the headlines with his Harrisburg rally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania? You know, you got to hand it to Trump when it comes to working the media or just having a really good sense of timing and counter, I don't know what I call it, a counter PR strategy or whatever. But he decided not to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and instead of them making all the headlines like they usually do over the weekend when they have that, it was a split screen with Trump in Harrisburg, with most people carrying mostly the Harrisburg speech of Donald Trump than what I'd have to think would be kind of a boring White House Correspondents' Dinner without your head target showing up, that being the President of the United States. Now, everybody's talking about, you know, Trump's the first president since Ronald Reagan in 81 who hadn't shown up. And for those of you too young to know, and those of you that have forgotten, the reason Reagan didn't show up is he had been shot and was recovering. So after the assassination attempt by Hinckley. So in any event, I thought it was a smart move for him not to go. I mean, why go and put yourself in front of a room full of people that hate you? Media Research Center did a study and said that 89% of the media coverage so far in the first 100 days of Donald Trump has been negative. And I will suggest to you that some of the criticism may have been earned, but 89%, I'm going to suggest to you that a large part of that was pretty gratuitous. And, you know, there's a lot of folks worrying that Fox News is getting a little gratuitous in certain sectors of their hard news operation. Shep Smith, excuse me. But in any event, we may ask Ed about that, being the past head poobah of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. They had some comedian from The Daily Show that I heard was kind of a bomb. But in any event, who cares? I don't care. Do you care? Does it affect your life? No. I got an invitation to it. I can't remember whether it was last year or year before last. It had to be an error. And I didn't even go, and it looked like just a bunch of self-congratulatory type A media types who, as far as I'm concerned, spent 8 years snoozing, not really doing their job. I'm talking about the mainstream media, and all self-congratulatory and Obama-loving grouping there, and you know, a fun time was had by all. But it's basically, in my view, a liberal media pep rally. So I thought it was pretty smart of Trump to skip the affair. And he put a tease out that he might go next year. We'll see. But why would you want to show up for that? And I think he had a good time in Harrisburg. I think he gets a lot of energy off of being around his supporters. And I think there was one small protest inside that was shut down pretty quickly at the Harrisburg Trump rally. But you know, I see the criticism that he needs to quit campaigning and focus on governing. But you know what? If that keeps him going, so be it. You couldn't give me the job of President of the United States in today's environment. And he had some pretty candid 100-day interviews with folks that he has admitted that the job is tougher than he anticipated because of all the factions involved. And I mean, just the constant criticism. I mean, hell, I'm surprised his approval numbers aren't in the 20s, given the onslaught that the liberal mainstream media has brought on. But he's holding at 43, 45, depending on the poll that you look at in job approval rating. Could that be better? Of course it could. But I think he is holding that in spite of an 89% negative media skew on just about everything he does. And I thought another interesting point in that poll was the fact that if the election were held today, not only would he win the Electoral College, he would also win the popular vote that Hillary won in the 2016 election. Do you see anybody talking about that? Well, of course you don't. But anyway, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk about it all. We got to take a quick break so we can track Mr. Henry down in the Washington Bureau of Fox News. So we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a senior national correspondent from Fox News, Mr. Ed Henry, with us, talking about his book and maybe some D.C. headlines with us. Keep it tuned. We'll be right back with Ed Henry. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you. Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
There was a kid who set a fire in the middle of the street, and he asked him why he did, and he said because he felt like it, and then looked in the camera and said, screw the president.
That kid needs a whooping.
Why in the wide, wide world of sports do you let your kid run off down the street and start fires?
Because where's the parents and bad parenting,
yeah,
and it turns
exactly
out that he grew Carrie.
Well, his dad was down the street emceeing an inaugural event. Oh. Well, Drew Carey is a Gary Johnson guy, so you can bet your patootie that around the Drew Carey house, there was a lot of nasty things said about Donald Trump.
The kid needs an ass whooping, and he needs one yesterday.
Spare the rod and spoil the libertarian, I always say. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking, right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio, or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. You know, we've had some big Fox names on this air over the four-year run. Today's our four-year anniversary, and what better way to celebrate our fourth year than have somebody, it's his first time on the show, but I got to tell you, I'm a big admirer of his work. He is my go-to guy for news on Washington policy and politics. He is national correspondent for Fox News Channel, and he's got a new book out that is just fascinating called 42 Faith, The Untold Story of Jackie Robinson, and he advances the story on that. We're going to talk about it all with him. Ed Henry, thanks for being on with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, and congratulations on your fourth anniversary. I noticed on Fox and Friends this morning, they spent a lot of time talking about how it's a sixth anniversary of Bin Laden being killed. What a wonderful day for America. So I don't know if it's a coincidence or not that this great American radio program was launched on the day, on the anniversary anyway, of Bin Laden being killed.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. We're going to have Rob O'Neill on next week too. So sure. I just hope he doesn't kill the show. You know, he killed a Bin Laden.
Yeah, we want the show to keep going. But it was great that a terrorist was brought down on this day in history. But it was also great that a wonderful radio program was started on this day. So I appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's very kind, Ed, and I don't say it lightly. I can count on one hand people in the news business today that I trust, and you occupy one of those fingers. I won't tell you which finger, but it's not the middle one, okay?
Well, I'm glad. Is it the thumb or the pointer? I don't know what the significance would be, but the thumb is kind of really important, but the pointer finger is important.
Where's I'm going to give you the pointer finger. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, brother.
Where's Brett? You said you had Brett on the program. Where's Brett? He's important.
I don't know. You know, to tell you the God's honest truth, you're harder to get on this air than Brett Baer.
Brett's a great guy. Well, I appreciate you having me on. So let's get down. Yeah, 42 Faith is something I've been working on for a long time. You know, and look, everyone's heard the story of Jackie Robinson. You saw the movie 42. But I think Hollywood didn't really want to get into. They tread very lightly on faith in God, and it's an important element in everyone's lives. And I think in the case of Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers who signed him, faith was something that bound both of them together. So we dive deep on this in 42 Faith.
Well, it's interesting. Now, if I've read correctly, you had access to, I won't say heretofore unavailable information, but new information that kind of advanced the story. There were some sermons that were discovered, and even an unpublished book on Jackie Robinson, and you talked to a lot of the family. That had to be fascinating.
It really was. I mean, one piece that you are mentioning is something that really has not been published before, and in Jackie Robinson's papers, which were donated by his family very generously to the Library of Congress, and I received permission from them to use them in this project, 42 Faith. They did not endorse the project, want to be very clear, because there's so much written and done in movies and documentaries about Jackie Robinson that, you know, they have to remain independent, and I respect that. And so this is something I did on my own. But in going through Jackie Robinson's personal papers donated by his wife, Rachel, who's still alive, which is a wonderful blessing for all of us, because, as you say, I interviewed her, and she has a lot of wonderful stories to tell. But in this unpublished manuscript, Jackie Robinson was working on this book over time. He passed away, sadly, in 1972 at the age of 53. So no one read this manuscript really before. And what I did was publish it here because he talks a lot about his faith and how critical his faith in God was in order to not just get him to the Dodgers, but get him to excel, break the color barrier, and withstand and overcome people shouting the N-word at him, people threatening his life because he wanted to play baseball. I'll tell you a quick story. He was raised by a single mom in Pasadena, California, Jackie Robinson. They didn't get into this in the movie 42, but I think it's a very important part of his story because he joined a gang raised by a single mom. He has a criminal record as a teenager. You probably may not have known that. And yet, wow. How did Jackie Robinson overcome that? Well, because of the love of his mom, the fact that his mom, Mally Robinson, a hero I believe in this story, instilled faith in God in him at a very early age. She was a Methodist and really instilled that in Jackie. But just as important was there was a Christian minister from the Methodist Church there in Pasadena, Reverend Carl Downs, who intervened and said, Jackie, you're going to waste all this athletic talent. You're going to waste your life if you keep going down this path with this gang. And he got out of the gang, becomes a four-letter man at UCLA, excels at four varsity sports, baseball, basketball, football, and track and field. And I was struck by the fact that in my research, I found that Jackie Robinson would excel on the football field on Saturdays, as I mentioned, for the UCLA team, and right. would be beaten and battered and all that. Get up on Sunday morning, and what did he do? He would go back to Pasadena and teach Sunday school, because he made a commitment wow. to that minister, the Reverend Carl Downs. How many college athletes, how many pro athletes today are either teaching Sunday school or giving back like that? We certainly see some examples. I don't want to paint everybody with a bad brush. There are plenty that do great charitable work and give back. But now there's so much money in all of these games and all of these sports. Jackie Robinson was somebody who had not just the spirit of charity to give back to the next and future generations as he broke the color barrier, but he had a deep faith in God, and I think it was a critical element.
Well, and that's what I find fascinating about it, Ed, in all seriousness. I just got the book this week. I went out and bought it and just started reading it, and, you know, his civil rights activities and, you know, just superstardom in baseball kind of overshadow. And what I find fascinating so far in the book is you've really humanized him. You know, superheroes and super athletes and all that have kind of a persona. And I agree with you. You know, there are so many unknowns about Jackie Robinson from a personal dynamic. What I see you doing here so far is really, I don't want to call it advancing the story, but you've added another dimension to the man that is either overlooked or ignored, which I find just great reading.
Well, I appreciate that, because that's wonderful to hear. And I think on the other side of this, the other reason I got into it is something that had not been told before, and a reason why I think people are going to really love 42 Faith. You can get it at the number 42faithbook.com. It links you to Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and everywhere. And a lot of Christian bookstores all around the country as well that are selling the book, is that Branch Rickey, you know, it's been talked about that the general manager of the Dodgers was a man of faith as well, wore it on his sleeve maybe more than Jackie did. But I don't know that a lot of people know, for example, that Branch Rickey had second thoughts at the last moment in 1945 before signing Jackie to his first contract. And I learned, and you will learn in the book, I'll save the details, but the big picture is that Branch Rickey secretly met with a Christian minister for 45 minutes and told him, I don't know if I can do this, and prayed on it and thought on it and went back and forth and paced around the room. And at the end of this meeting, said to the minister, you know, I've decided to sign Jackie to the first contract. I needed to be in your presence, he said to the minister. I needed to be in God's presence to know it was the right thing to do. That's what really sent me on this journey, because it made me realize when I learned this previously untold story that it almost didn't happen, but for this meeting with a Christian minister. It told me that faith in God played a much bigger role in the story of Jackie Robinson, both from the Branch Rickey side of it, in terms of his decision-making to sign Jackie in the first place, but maybe more importantly, as I mentioned earlier, Jackie overcoming these long odds to make history.
Well, and those of us that are frequent viewers of Fox News know very well that you're an avid baseball fan, like Krauthammer and others that we follow. But in this question sounds obligatory, but I sincerely am interested to know what actually led you to this topic. How did you wake up one day and say, I'm going to write a story about Jackie Robinson?
Well, you know, I was at a dinner party in Washington, and it was at the Belgium ambassador's house. It was 10 years ago. That's how long I've been working on this book.
Oh,
not
wow.
Every day. I don't want to exaggerate it. But, you know, it was like, you know how you get an idea. Maybe you had an idea to have a radio show, and, you know, 10 years ago or 8 years ago. The show launched 4 years ago, but it doesn't mean you were working on it every day for 8 or 10 years. But it means that, you know, you had this concept, and you don't want to give up the dream. I was at a dinner party 10 years ago, October 07. And I'm sitting next to this older woman who, you know, turns out had a wonderful story to share. But, you know, I think it's a lesson that sometimes you go to a dinner party and you think, I don't have anything in common with this person. I'm not going to bother talking to them, or you just make small talk and you don't actually get to know the person. Well, the dinner party went badly. It was just a boring dinner. And you'll read the funny details about it in the book, the short of it being that the ambassador from Belgium to the United States served pigeon. And growing up in New York City, I can tell you, pigeons are these dirty birds.
Wow.
Say yes to this dinner. And so then all of a sudden, you know, I try to duck out of the dinner by telling the woman next to me, you know what, I'm going to go watch the World Series. It was the Rockies and the Red Sox. And nice to meet you. And I start leaving early. And she says, are you a baseball fan? I said, yeah. She said, my late father-in-law played a major role in baseball history, but the story's never been told. Well, as you can imagine, I'm sure you would as a broadcaster. I sat back down. I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, my father-in-law was a minister in Brooklyn. And in 1945, this man came to him with a problem. And she proceeded to tell me the story I told a moment ago about how
Blanchard
had these secret second thoughts. She hadn't told anyone the story before. So I set out to confirm the details. The minister kept this a secret for many years. Jackie gets signed. He breaks the color barrier. He makes the Baseball Hall of Fame. He has a wonderful career. But in the early 60s, the minister was dying, and he wanted to tell somebody because he didn't want it lost on history. So he told his wife, and she decided to write a 5-page essay about how there was a hidden hand of God in this decision by Blanchard to sign Jackie Robinson. She waited until Ricky died at the end of 65, early 66, because she didn't want to embarrass him. You know, when you go to a minister, you have a certain expectation that this is a private conversation, it's confidential.
Sure.
And she didn't want to embarrass him because, as you'll read in the book, Blanchard cried during this meeting with the minister. I think he cried because it was partly tears of joy, but it was also because he was worried. He had a wonderful reputation in the game of baseball. And as you'll see in the book, it's easy for us to forget now. We think, oh, of course a black player got a chance. No, back then, all of these other white owners and general managers did not want to give a black player a chance. And so Blanchard thought, if Jackie fails, my whole reputation, my whole life will be on the line. He
right.
was literally putting all of that on the line. And I think that's why he went to the minister. And that's what sent me on this journey to dig deeper. And you know, I think as I interviewed Ken Burns for this book, the great documentarian, he did a great documentary on baseball, of course, years ago. And then last year did one on Jackie Robinson, his own piece on Jackie. Ken Burns told me, you know, we always think that we know everything about history, but it's actually a living, breathing thing, you know. And think about mm-hmm. the documentary he did on the Civil War. And if you read these wonderful books on the Civil War and you hear the stories and you watch the movies and the documentaries, you think you know everything. And yet Ken Burns sat down and found all kinds of new things by, you know, going through these letters and these photos. And so that's what I try to do with 42 Faith. And I think the buzz on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, is such that I don't think this book debuted as number 4 on the Washington Post bestseller list for nothing. I don't say that to boast. I say that because I think it's resonating with people, because a lot of people, you know, like Jackie Robinson, may have a quiet faith in God. They may not wear it on their sleeve. And I think that's why for many years people sort of overlooked the faith angle here. But Jackie Robinson had a deep faith in God. I think it informed his entire life, not just his baseball career. And I hope you enjoy the book.
Well, I will. And, you know, you got to wonder if there wasn't divine intervention putting you next to that lady to pigeon feast. You know, I mean,
exactly. I felt
what's the chance of that?
The book. Exactly. And if you go to the end of the book, I don't want to give away the ending, but I give another example of what I believe to be divine intervention, where a couple of years ago I was giving up on this because, you know, when I talk about working on this for 10 years, I had all kinds of people tell me, well, and I know you want to talk about politics. Let's do that as well. You know, say, well, you're a political journalist. Why are you writing a book about baseball? Well, first of all, it's not really a book about baseball. There's a lot of wonderful baseball stories. If you're a baseball fan, 42 Faith will not disappoint you. But I think it's a story about something much deeper than just baseball.
Maybe some life lessons.
Yeah, some life lessons that we can all learn, myself included. None of us are perfect. And I think the bottom line is, you're right. There was divine intervention that I sat next to this woman who told me this wonderful story. And you'll see it in the book. There's divine intervention because I almost gave up on it because a lot of publishers told me, why is a political person writing about baseball, writing about faith? You know, we're not going to publish this. But it was my son intervening with something very interesting you'll see at the end of the book that got me to not give up and say, I'm going to do this book. And that's why it's so gratifying that you and others are saying, wait, you know, there's a deeper message here. You got to check out 42 Faith.
Well, there really is. And no BS. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke up your dress here. I have been following it since it came out. And, you know, speaking of divine providence, I saw the piece you did on Fox and Friends, and you happened to sit down at a table with a Harriet Baldwin, who is a dear friend of mine, and interviewed her on Fox and Friends when you did your book signing down in Florida.
And, yeah, Lake Worth. Yeah, she was there. That was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. She's a dear friend of mine. She's a former journalist and been on our air here, and I was just thrilled. I mean, they're two of my favorite people in the world, Ed Henry and Harriet Baldwin, sitting down in Florida. And I saw you guys on Fox and Friends, but you know what it told me?
Yeah, now I'm sitting down with you. It's a small world. You're right.
Isn't it, though? She's a treat, and you are, too. And I am just so happy that the book is doing well. I've got a link on our show page linking it to Amazon. I do that for all the folks that take the time to spend some time with us. And I wish you the best of luck, and I'm going to continue following it, and I'm going to write you an Amazon review. I think my Amazon review of Brett Baer's book is still like number two on Amazon in terms of reviews, so I will definitely do that. We've got a link to it, Ed, on our show page, and we sell a few books through that, so we wish you all the success. Before we let you go, I got to ask you a couple of obligatory politics question. I said in the lead up before we took the break to get you on the line that you're past president of the White House Correspondents Association, and I'm just curious as your of your take on this year's deal without Trump. It seems like he succeeded in what he wanted to do of knocking it out of the headlines a little bit. What say you?
He really did. I believe you're right. I believe that this is somebody who, you know, came to power almost through reality TV and a whole new approach to the media with a direct, no filter communication on Twitter and other social media like Facebook. And I don't think it's perfect. I'm not cheerleading here. I think the president makes mistakes with that approach sometimes. There's no doubt about it. Right. But on the other hand, I think he has found a way to get directly to the American people. I mean, he shocked the world, including a lot of supposed smart people in my business who thought he never had a chance to even get the nomination, let alone beat Hillary Clinton. And number two, you know, this is like reality TV. It's counter-programming, right? You've got the whole media establishment together in one ballroom thinking they're the center of the universe. And what does he do? He not only commands the stage, but goes to the battleground of Pennsylvania that basically propelled him to the White House. And I think we're going to see, you know, him visiting Pennsylvania practically every month between now and his reelection, because he realizes that the road to the White House runs through Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and some of these battlegrounds that Hillary Clinton took too lightly. And so I think it was a brilliant move. And I think that it certainly took I think Jeff Mason, one of my colleagues at Reuters, who succeeded me a couple of years after my own presidency at the Correspondents Association, did a wonderful job of highlighting the First Amendment, rightly so, and still put on a terrific dinner. But,
sure,
but I think
sure.
You're right that it was overshadowed by the president.
Well, a couple of quick follow-ups, if I might. For those listeners who don't know, Ed is a veteran White House correspondent, and I think you've covered multiple presidents, if I recall correctly. And do you think that he's really stirred up the Washington press corps? It's almost like they don't know how to handle him. Are they as
I think you're right.
befuddled as they seem to be in covering this president?
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, I'm not cheerleading. I don't think he's been perfect. Far from it. I think he's made plenty.
Well, he wasn't my first choice. Okay, I'm be honest with you. There's criticism that he had, and, you know, you mentioned the election. I'm tired of him talking about the election, and I think it's contraindicated and doesn't do him any good. He needs to talk about governing and less about the election. It's over.
That's a great example, and I think that's why he struggled on health care. They're trying to revive it this week. We'll see whether or not he'll be successful. I don't think, by the way, it's just the president's posterior on the line. I think Republicans have the House and Senate. When you talk about governing, you put your finger on the exact word, which is that the Republicans have everything lined up for this president to be Reagan 2.0. If he can repeal and replace health care. And the key word there to me is replace. Not just it's easy to just, oh, we're going to tear something down. But what are you going to put in its place? And Republicans have had a long time, to be fair and balanced here, to criticize and throw stones at Obamacare. But what are you going to do to fix it, to actually make it better? And I think this president has ideas. He should be heard. But he's going to have to ride herd with the House and Senate Republican leaders who have so far failed him on this issue, number one. Number two, if he comes up with a deal not just that on that, but on tax cuts and maybe broader tax reform, he's going to get this economy going. There's all kinds of confidence meters, you know, whether it be in the markets or consumer confidence, showing, you know, that he's got a shot in the arm for the economy early on here, but he's got to lock it in with a real tax deal, which is something he promised as well. And then if you look at his approach on Syria and North Korea and some of the tougher stances I think he's taken than the Obama administration approach, if you put that together, despite all the criticism from the press corps, which has been largely against him from day one, this is somebody who could put together a very successful presidency. You know, but
that's exactly right.
Imagine he's got all kinds of governing challenges, and he's going to have to rise to the occasion. He's had an okay start, but he had a lot of stumbles in the first 100 days, and I think it comes down to that one word, which is governing. You're absolutely right.
Well, I give him high marks for his national security team, but he's going to have to perfect the domestic policy for sure. Well, Ed, listen, you have been so great to spend time with us, and it's no exaggeration.
Do it anytime. Let's do it again.
Well, it's no exaggeration. I'm a great fan of your work at Fox News, and I'm excited to finish reading the book. And we'll be talking about it in the coming weeks and continue to support it, because I think there's some things to take away from that book that apply to the division in our country today. And I'm really glad you wrote it. I do have a suggestion for your follow-up book.
Sure. Yeah, please tell me.
The Life Cycle of Pocket Hankies.
You know, I do love those pocket squares, and some of my colleagues tease me about it, but I love it, and I'm glad that you're showing me now that you're a close a viewer, and so I'm going to be online making sure that I'm listening to your show.
That's kind of you, Ed. Listen, you're welcome here anytime, sir. And like I say, we'll continue talking about the book. Our listeners can go to popsradioshow.com. There's a direct link to Amazon. Just go buy it. I'm telling you, I'm in, I think, middle of chapter 3. It's well worth the read. And I really appreciate your time today, Ed.
I appreciate you talking about the book and having me on. And this is a wonderful forum. I'll be back for sure. Thank you.
Thanks for the time, sir. There you go, folks. Mr. Ed Henry, Chief National Correspondent for Fox News, new book, 42 Faith. And he does advance the story on Jackie Robinson. You know, it's coincidental. I was watching PBS last night, like I always do, and there was a Jackie Robinson special on late last night. I think I watched it till 1 o'clock in the morning my time, and it was just coincidental to it, but it's interesting to see the documentary and then what I've read so far in Ed's book. But if you're a baseball fan, if you're a fan of Jackie Robinson, it is something you definitely want to pick up and read. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to have my mentor and the fearless leader of the Gang of 405, John Grant, come back and talk to us a little bit about the Trump media coverage and some stuff we covered on the Gang of 405 Saturday. John has a number of editorials on the media coverage and kind of the Trump bias and Trump derangement syndrome, and we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Stay tuned. John Grant will be with me right after the mid-show break. And my thanks to Ed Henry. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
The Gang of 405, live on the 405media.com. Join John Grant on the West Coast, Tammy Jackson in Oregon, and Scott Jones in Texas.
Broader America is hip to the game, and they're tired of it.
That is spot on. You guys probably remember, for instance, there was a homeschool Christian family from, was it Germany?
Germany.
That they wouldn't allow to come to the United States.
There's not a single Christian in the Jordanian camps for Syrian refugees.
It seems like the Democrats are hell-bent and will go to the mat to protect any foreigner, any immigrant.
ISIS is, in effect, running the immigration or refugee program for Italy right now because they decide who gets on the boat and goes across the Mediterranean seas. The original and classic Gang of 405. Saturday mornings, live, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. Huge thanks to Mr. Ed Henry, Chief National Correspondent for Fox News Channel, talking about 42 Faith and a little bit of politics. He's just to me a correspondence when it comes how he covers the news. And I am so grateful that he spent some time with us this morning. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're about to enjoy my next guest, too. He is my mentor in the world of broadcast radio. He is program director and owner of the 405media.com and our fearless leader every Saturday, along with Tammy Jackson of the Gang of 405. John Grant, thanks for spending some time with us.
Good morning, Scott, and thanks for having me on. And congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're kicking off the fifth year, and I believe it's we've been with the 405 Radio 3 of the 4 years, if I recall correctly. And I appreciate
you.
Yeah,
I ain't too proud to admit that I stole you from another network. And I went through a phase where I was just stealing people from other networks, you know, to build the station up here. But here's a fun fact. Here's some trivia. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were on the same network as somebody who was once a radio podcaster or a radio broadcaster. He had a radio show. And anyway, he is now Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. You were both on Indiana Talks, right?
That's right. That's right. Indiana Talks. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then they drank some sort of poison punch and went all liberal on us, and I couldn't have that, and I was ready to run to your arms when you extended the invitation here to the 405 Media, and I've been a very happy camper and treasure our relationship for sure, John, and I thank you for everything you've done for this show. Well, I mean, you were even helping me before I came here, and that you were stealing the podcast and putting them up on the 405 Radio. So
exactly. Yeah, we had a little arrangement with, I think his name is Gary at Indiana Talks, and we were sharing stuff for a while and then just decided we needed to kind of beef up our own programming and get our own stuff going here. And there you were.
You've been there since almost the beginning, either while I'm here or even before I came here, and it was very much appreciated. You heard Ed and I talking about the Nerd Prom, the so-called White House Correspondents' Dinner, and I think they got knocked out of the headlines. Did you see any clips at all? I watch news, you know, 24/7, or at least while I'm awake. I didn't see any clips or any quotes or any sound bites played anywhere that I was watching of the actual dinner like they normally do.
I think that Samantha Bee's, not the White House Correspondents' Dinner, got more hype than the actual White House Correspondents' Dinner. I mean, they trotted up old Woodward and Bernstein, and, you know, as Byron York said, it was half piety and half Trump bashing. I didn't watch it, and I think Trump had the best line of the night. You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner was all about actors and Washington journalists consoling each other in a hotel salon.
Exactly. And I think it was a stroke. I won't say genius because, you know, it was, to me, it was typical Trump. To him, it was just another day at the office. But from a strategy standpoint, I thought it was great what he did.
Absolutely. I think he did what he needed to do to change the subject from his attendance at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, although I think he has sort of dangled the notion that he may come next year. I think what he's kind of saying is, if you know, press types behave yourselves, I might come back next year. But if you don't, then I won't. So fair enough.
You know, that is so typical cat and mouse. You know, to me, you know, you're in the business, I'm in the business, and you can kind of see some of these things coming a mile away. That was just him screwing with them to me, the dangling it out there. I thought that part was even smart.
Yeah, and that's the game that he plays very well, and it's something I think, as you said to Ed Henry, that the media has not yet adapted to, and they haven't figured out how to come up to speed on all this.
Well, I wanted to shift gears a little bit, and I know you're doing other things as you're producing the show, because I can be abjectly boring when I'm yammering on, but one of the things...
I'm just staring at the bottom of my empty coffee cup right now, so...
I am, too.
The next order of business is to fill this puppy up.
Okay, well, I'll try to make this as painless and as quick as possible, but one of the comments I made to Ed Henry, and I'm curious if you agree with it, I'm almost at my red line limit of him talking about the election versus talking policy in the future. Am I overtrained on that? Because I caught a little bit of that at the Harrisburg rally.
Well, there was a story about Trump having some reporters in the Oval Office, I think, last week, and he interrupted the interview to hand out copies of the electoral map showing where he had won. I don't know. I've got kind of mixed feelings about that, because I do believe that, you know, Washington politicians and the press have not yet come to grips with the fact that this guy devoured a very large portion of flyover country, you know, and their biases and their predispositions only matter to the coastal people. I think that's what he's saying there, whether he knows it or not, but I think that's a takeaway that they should get. Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious he's still talking about the electoral map to some people, but I think the bigger message is that nothing has changed since Election Day insofar as, you know, the media, which is primarily coastal, and Washingtonians still don't really have a message and a narrative for, you know, the people in Middle America right now.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point. I just, you know, for me, and maybe I'm a little jaded because I'm in the business, and I wholesale agree with what you just said. You know, the whole media view of the world from the mainstream media is from left coast and the lesser coast, as you like to call it. And I think it's important to remind people, including people like me, you know, that he's speaking to us, and that's why he won the election and all of that. But I just wish there was a better way. I mean, I don't want to be – there are two things I'm tired of talking about. One is the electoral map from the 2016 election, and the second thing is this effing 100 days. You know, it took Obama 8 years to screw up America, and I've listened to people in the liberal-leaning media – talk about that he's an abject failure if he doesn't fix everything in the first 100 days, and I'm starting to kind of resent it, John.
Well, it seems like the base or the fake base is getting a little nervous about the wall, and I understand that they reached a budget deal which will fund the government through September. My sense is it does not include the wall. On the other hand, border crossings are way down, apprehensions are way up. Two other issues which I think people would rush to call failures of Trump's would be the travel ban, stuck in courts, you know, mired down in unelected judges. The other thing is the Obamacare fix, which I think is closer than we believe. I think it'll happen pretty soon. Excuse me. But again, this is on Congress's shoulders and not his. And again, to mention him again, Byron York, he said, look, there's just X number of Republicans in Congress that don't want to repeal Obamacare. There's nothing Trump can do about that.
Well, and the thing that bothers me about it, John, is when I listen to the reporting on it, it's you know, well, Donald Trump hadn't passed any legislation. Well, we elected him president. I didn't know he was a congressman and a senator, too, and responsible for a bunch of
do-nothings. I think he signed 39 bills, which is more than any of the last, I don't know, four presidents or something. There was a Fox News graphic out there the other day, 29 or 39 bills or something. You know, they're not the big marquee Obamacare-type bills or infrastructure spending bills, but there's no question that, you know, they have put a conservative flavor on his governance so far, and the people who said this guy was going to veer to the left or drop the right like a rock have just been wrong. I'll give you another example. There were three congressmen, all from coastal districts. I think one was Patty Murray from Washington. The other one was Ted Lieu from California, and the name of the third one escapes me. And they were bragging about this bill that they had, which is called Born Perfect, which basically outlaws gay conversion therapy. Now, we can debate whether gay conversion therapy is appropriate or not, but this is what these guys are hanging their hat on for the great Democrat comeback in 2018 and 2020, and I think that shows that they're still clueless.
Well, I'm curious as to your opinion on this. I mean, it's very obvious that Trump derangement syndrome exists in perpetuity amongst Democrat ranks. And I saw Schumer on Fox News Sunday, and I'm starting to get feelings about him like I had about Harry Reid. I don't think he's as dirty, but I think he is as entrenched and partisan and putting party before country on everything he's doing. But, you know, I guess I'm just wondering, is there still a contingent of Republicans that are intent on, I guess, the never Trumper contingent? I think it's gotten smaller, but in your view, has it gone away in terms of Congress? Or do you think there's people that are still there that are interested in hijacking him?
I think it's fading away in some respects, and I think there were two, you know, very high-profile members of Congress who announced that they would not be running again. Jason Chaffetz in Utah and the woman in Florida with the hyphenated name, whatever her name is.
She's a loss. Ross Layton.
Yeah, she's been in Congress for 38 years. You know, you can argue she's getting kind of long in the tooth. But by hook or by crook, I think the never Trumps are sort of riding off into the sunset here. Some of them won't run again. A lot of them are in districts where, you know, we'll keep the seat. I don't see these special elections, the one in Georgia or the one in Kansas, as being, you know, game changers either. So I think Trump just gets stronger as we march toward 2018 and 2020.
Well, what's your we'll wrap it up this way. What's your worst fear? That I think the polls were wrong. They were wrong about his election. I think they're probably even to some degree wrong on his job approval. What's your worst fear in terms of what Trump could or would do that would maybe reverse that trend and start his rock truly falling?
I saw that Steve Bannon was possibly on his way out and headed to the leadership of the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, really?
I saw that on Drudge over the weekend. I'm not saying that, you know, the exit of Steve Bannon would be a deal breaker as far as Trump's appeal to his base. On the other hand, it's stuff like what Steve Bannon wants to do and stuff like Peter Navarro wants to do. By the way, the NAFTA bailout or the NAFTA backout was not a Steve Bannon idea. It was a Steve Bannon and a Peter Navarro idea. Peter Navarro is an economist from University of California, Irvine, who is very much supportive of trade reform. So I think a lot of people were dismissive of that flip-flop as Bannon's folly, but that's just not the case. I think if those ideas and those elements were backed out of the presidency and this were to be perceived as something being run by, you know, East Coast Democrats, Gary Cohn, I don't want to say the Kushners, but you know where I'm going with this. I think if that whole element of, you know, what people perceived his base was going to be or was, if that goes away, I think that could cause people to cool to him somewhat. But on the other hand, at this point, 96% of the people that voted for him would vote for him again, and he'd win the popular vote. So what do I know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, John, I appreciate you spending the time. And as I said before you came on, you've written a lot of editorial pieces. Before you go, I'm going to let you do a shameless plug time and let people know what they can find on the 405 Media.
Well, I do a little bit of blogging in between the radio shows. I'm trying to channel my vitriolic rants on Twitter into something more substantive, and I think people enjoy reading a piece and clicking on it rather than a tweet that goes up in smoke after a few seconds. So there's a few things sitting out there right now. There's one thing I wrote after the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I think it's completely appropriate to attack the fake press and not the free press, and those are two different things. And I think to the extent that we can make that clear to people, I think that's going to resonate with Americans because they do trust Trump more than the media right now. That's an example of something sitting out there.
Yeah. Well, we've got great editorials. We've got a great partner podcast, and we also you also put a lot of videos. I think we're getting a lot of traffic from live links to a lot of the Trump administration. So if people want to stay up on what's going on, I think they ought to come to our site. That's for sure.
Obviously, Sean Spicer is a matinee idol. We try to post his press conferences as much as we can. And the other guy that has a lot of kind of niche interest is Mike Pence. People want to see his speeches. They're not always out there, but if I can find them, I put them out there. I think they resonate very well, even with some of the more Trumpian crowd. And he's obviously a lot different from Trump in many respects.
Well, I mentioned Ed Henry. I have confidence in Trump's national security team, but Mike Pence is one of the best decisions he ever made, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, John, listen, thanks for spending the time with us. I not only appreciate your insights, but it meant a lot to me for you to come on our fourth anniversary show, so I appreciate the time.
You bet. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you Saturday morning.
You bet. Thanks, John. There you go, folks. Mr. John Grant, program director and our fearless leader of the Gang of 405. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll have some final thoughts. But big thanks to John Grant for spending the time. We'll be right back. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. As we like to say, please follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. While we're coming to the end of a big show, I really appreciate the time of both Ed Henry of Fox News and our own John Grant for spending the time with us today on our fourth anniversary show. Hopefully we'll make it another 5 years if I don't croak right here at the microphone, all kidding aside. But you're stuck with me, it sounds like. But in any event, it's a labor of love, and we work hard to bring you guests like John and Ed, and we're going to continue that commitment here as we go through the first year of the Obama administration. The only thing else I had on the agenda to talk about was, and we talked about this Saturday on the Gang of 405, I'm not going to get in the weeds about all the internal turmoil of Fox News, but there may be further changes coming. I'm just going to say it right now, and if I get banned from Fox, I get banned from Fox. I have I've about had it with Shep Smith, and of course you know that a couple of major talents have either departed either voluntarily or involuntarily at Fox News, and they've re-scrambled their primetime lineup. I think Tucker Carlson's doing well, easy for me to say, and I wish him well. A couple of new shows debut, something called The Specialists at 5 o'clock Eastern, replacing the 5 that moved at 9 o'clock, and then The First 100 Days with Martha McCallum has been renamed The Story. God, they need to hire me to come up with some better creative show names, but it's going to be interesting to see what unfolds. Sean Hannity's unhinged about some of the internal stuff that are going on, and there's just a lot of turmoil. But as we talked about on the Gang of 405 Saturday, say what you want about Fox, but they are the bastion for an alternative view from this liberal media that spent 89% of their time bashing our party's president, and we need something like Fox News, and if they're going to go away or shift their format to the left, we need something, and there's a lot of rumors about that out there. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the coming days, but I'm going to be interested to see, and if you watch Fox like I do, those two debuts are going to be interesting to see how they play out today, so we've got that on the agenda. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Our plan, God willing, and people's schedules willing, next Monday we will have Rob O'Neill, the man who shot Osama bin Laden. He's got a new book out called The Operator. I guess I'm in book season now, but I want to talk to Rob because it is the 6th anniversary of it all. So We're looking forward to trying to nail him down and have him next Monday. Until then, keep it tuned throughout the day for great programming. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.